As we were thinking about our series on guns in America this week, it occurred to us that there are rarely conversations across that divide between people who own and love guns and people who don't. We wanted to open up that dialogue, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But first, let's meet the man who will host that discussion, Paul Gwaltney. He's an NPR listener, a self-described avid gun enthusiast, and he sent us an email recently challenging us to go to a shooting range to better understand the culture. We decided to take him up on that challenge, and we meet first at his home in Centerville, Virginia, a suburb of Washington, where he lives with his wife and three children.
But this is where we keep everything, so.
In the basement, Paul shows me shelves of ammo and their 36-gun vault.
And we're making room for a second vault as we're overloading this one, so.
It's full.
It is full, yes.
And he keeps one more handgun upstairs for protection. How many guns in all? Paul tells me that's a question only non-gun owners ask, fixating on the number, implying that people have more guns than they need. For gun owners, he says, there is no distinction between need and want.
And this would have been the infantry weapon in World War I.
Paul Gwaltney collects guns, some for target shooting, some for fun, some for their historic value. He's pulled out several guns to show me. He handles them with great care and obvious pride.
My grandfather was an infantryman in World War I, so that would have been the gun he carried.
What's this?
This is a Liberator pistol, an FP-45. It was actually made in my hometown in World War II. It was designed specifically to airdrop into the French Resistance.
And he shows me some new guns.
This is a Walther P-22. This is a similar gun, I think actually the same gun the Virginia Tech shooter used.
And a couple of black AR-style assault rifles for both Paul and his wife.
His and hers, she bought one too. I'm starting to call them the Feinstein guns.
These are among more than 150 assault weapons that would be banned under Senator Dianne Feinstein's proposal, which is now expected to die in the Senate. Paul Gwaltney locks his vault, and we head to an indoor shooting range, Blue Ridge Arsenal, in Chantilly, Virginia. The first thing you notice at Blue Ridge Arsenal is the display of ghoulish paper targets hanging behind the counter.
I've got a wall full. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
One target shows a grinning, crazy-bone skeleton holding a pistol, another aiming a shotgun, and there's one called Crazy Bones Terrorist. He's cradling an AK-47, dressed in a turban and robe, with a long dark beard to resemble Osama bin Laden. Instead, we go with a sheet of bullseyes.
Overall, just go out, have a great time, and we'll see you when you come back out.
It's pretty quiet before lunchtime, which is a relief. I've told Paul I have never handled a gun before, much less shot one. He wants me to start with the black AR-style rifle, the one he calls his Feinstein gun.
I'll start with 5 rounds in here for you.
5 rounds in a magazine that holds 30.
You want to release your slide on this side with your left thumb. There you go.
I'm aiming at the paper target 25 yards away. The rifle is pretty light, about 6 pounds with the magazine.
Finger on the trigger when you're ready.
There we go.
Brace yourself. It's going to get loud. Now, I expected this moment of firing an assault rifle to feel huge, but somehow it doesn't. The gun gives a bit of a kick, but not much. And while I did hit somewhere on the target, I wasn't at all precise.
So you got all 5 on target. You were aiming here?
I was aiming
here.
So
it might be your sight picture. It might be several.
I can easily see that you'd want to try again and again to improve your aim.
Should we try again?
Sure.
Later that day, Paul Gwaltney gathers some friends and work colleagues together at his home, both gun owners and non. We want to talk about their own experiences with guns and how they see the gun debate. We start with someone who served with Paul in the Air Force nearly 25 years ago.
I'm George Hardy-Gensis. I'm 54 years old. I'm a political moderate, which means to my leftist friends, I'm a conservative, and to my conservative friends, I'm a flaming liberal.
And he's not a gun owner. In this group, George is the most ardent supporter of gun control.
We just have so damn many of them out there.
In fact, he says, we'd be better off if we banned them. Also among the non-gun owners.
Hi, I'm Athena Norman, 37. I grew up with guns. I am for some handguns. But when it comes to the assault weapons, I am against a private person owning that. My daughter, who's 14, shoots handguns. Her father does own 2 or 3 handguns.
Our group is rounded out by the Riddles, Chuck and Renee, along with their son Jeremy and daughter-in-law Casey, who are visiting from Texas. Jeremy and Casey recently bought 2 handguns, a .40 caliber Springfield and a 9mm.
It's mostly just for home defense right now. We're going to start a family soon, so I want to make sure that I can do all I can to protect the family.
Casey, what about you? You're pregnant. You have a baby coming in May.
My number one goal is to protect my family, especially when we have our baby. The reason why we have 2 guns is his gun is way too big for me. So I had to get a gun that was smaller for me and more comfortable for me.
As for Jeremy's parents, Chuck and Renee, she says she hates guns. Her husband, Chuck, owns 3 of them.
We've got a Walther. I have a Walther 9mm that actually is a refurbished gun from the German police. So all of my guns are 25-plus years old. So Smith & Wesson 357 and then a snub-nose 38. It's a small pistol.
And Renee, what did you just say? You said we don't.
I don't have any guns. I don't even look at them. They're somewhere in the closet. I try not to even look that direction.
Renee grew up with handguns. She learned how to shoot with her father. But as an adult, she had this searing experience, a gun accident that killed a neighbor.
She was asleep in her apartment, and the guy in the apartment next to her was cleaning his gun and accidentally went off. She just sat up just at the right time and hit her and killed her.
Really?
Yeah.
And do you remember what was going through your mind when that happened?
Well, it was just strange that for a fluke, and the fact that he was cleaning his gun and not knowing what he was doing, it's messed up both of their lives. I mean, their families, because now he's killed somebody just cleaning his gun.
Anybody else whose lives have been crossed by gun violence in any way? Athena?
When I was a teenager, I was the victim of a gunshot. I was not the intended victim, but it was really in the wrong place at the wrong time.
What happened?
It was a, if you want to call it a party, whatever it was. And there was an argument, a fight, an altercation between 2 other gentlemen, and one had a gun, and I was actually shot. It did a lot of internal damage. Luckily, I'm still here today. But as far as how it impacts my views on guns, it's very minimal. The problem that I see with what happened was the person, not the gun that he was holding.
Hmm. How old were you?
16.
And you said you had serious injuries.
It was a .22 pistol. Luckily, it was not hollow tip. But it hit my heart first. It hit every major organ. I lost my spleen, half my stomach, half my bladder. It hit my liver, my intestines, and then finally came out my back. It punctured both of my lungs. But it was a pretty bad injury.
I think a lot of people would be surprised to hear you say that that did not change your views on guns.
It didn't. It changed my view on life, I think. But again, it was the person. And if guns were outlawed, that person still would have found a gun illegally.
And that points to the problem in this gun debate. Our host Paul Gwaltney chimes in. Will any of the proposed gun control laws work, or do they punish the wrong people? This has been an ongoing, feisty debate between Paul and his friend George Hartigensis for years.
We've talked many times about what is the goal of a lot of this legislation? Certainly to protect children in schools. Certainly we don't want to see mass shootings. But will these laws fundamentally ever change that equation? The simple fact of trying to restrict either magazine capacity or assault weapons because they look different than other firearms that might have the same destructive power, those ultimately don't get you to that goal.
George, ideally for you, what would you like to see in this country with gun ownership?
I would like to see the guns confiscated. I think that'd be a good thing, but
all
I
guns.
Know that that.
Are you talking about all guns?
Yeah, I think hunters are cool. I think handguns are cool. I went out with Paul one time and shot. I had a great time, but I'm willing to give that up.
And what laws would you realistically want to see?
Well, I think registrations are good. I think the ammunition thing, the clips.
So smaller magazines, you would say?
Smaller magazines, what do we really need handguns for? I mean, they're cool, but what do we really need them for?
George, the provocateur, gets under Paul's skin. As Paul sees it, there is no functional difference between an AR-style assault weapon, like the one Senator Feinstein wants to ban, and some of the vintage semi-automatic rifles he owns. He says drawing those distinctions doesn't make any sense for people who understand guns.
I think they're a Second Amendment right that I have, that I can select the firearm that I like to use to protect myself, to use for sporting, to use for hunting.
So do I have a right to own a Stinger missile?
I mean, it is about destructive power, right? We've made that distinction that says people don't carry personal missile defense systems. People recognize the destructive power of those weapons. But when you get into the semi-automatic realm, everywhere you put the line in this argument, to me, is arbitrary. If you put it down at a single bullet coming out of a gun and you have to reload every time, you've completely restricted my right to self-defense.
But where Paul Gwaltney fears knee-jerk restrictions on guns post-Newtown, Renee Riddle worries about more and more people arming themselves.
I have more of a problem with, because of these mass killings and things, people now are carrying guns. I'm afraid of more things happening like what happened to Athena. I've seen people that are crazy outside of stores fighting. If they had a gun, I would think they were going to kill each other. And then you get in a crossfire. I've seen my son get very irate at drivers. I'm afraid, you know, if I get somebody mad at me, they might shoot me if they've got a gun sitting in the car with them, legally, you know. I would be afraid of Jeremy with a gun. I swear.
You'd be afraid of your own son.
I would be afraid. I mean, I really would be afraid. And I think a lot of people are going out now to get guns because they think they're not going to be able to.
What about the restrictions that are being talked about now? Chuck?
Oh, as far as background checks go, I don't necessarily have an issue with background checks. I mean, if you could even do background checks at gun shows, if the ATF wanted to set up a booth and require everybody. I mean, you go to Beer Fest now, and you go to the booth, and you get your wristband that says you're legal to drink beer, and you can go buy beer in the Beer Fest. There's nothing that would prevent ATF from doing the same thing at every gun show.
How big a chasm do you think there is in our country, a division between people like Paul and Chuck and Jeremy and Casey now, who are gun owners and very strong supporters of the right to own guns, and people like Renee and George who are on the other side? I mean, how much conversation goes across that divide? Renee and Chuck, you live in the same house, and I'm not sure you have that conversation.
Personally, I don't say a lot about it because I know I can't win the argument. I just listen, and I say I don't like guns, and I go about my business.
Do you talk to your friends at all about guns?
Well, I have a couple of friends that when just before all this started, and she and I were talking, and she's also an elementary school teacher, and they were talking about having guns in the schools, and we're all like, oh, that's not a good idea. We both kind of whispered under our breath, I don't like guns at all anyway. And then we did talk about the fact that we don't talk about it very loudly, because we're not in the majority, and so we just kind of keep it to ourselves. But the thought of having some of the people that I know in the schools carrying guns for protection does not make me feel secure.
Does it strike you, Paul, that there are two communities here? There are gun people and there are non-gun people, and there's very little that bridges that conversation.
I think so. I mean, I think that there's a lot of hesitancy on gun owners. You know, we're vilified in the press. I mean, there's a lot of people that call for, you know, anybody who owns an assault weapon is, you know, de facto or by proxy guilty for the Newtown shootings. I mean, I've heard that. And, you know, I think it makes all of us hesitant to speak up. And I think even as Renee said, she's found like-minded people to share. We do as well. We know who we can talk to. And it's interesting. I mean, as you're seeing my collection, you've taken pictures, and I'm generally hesitant because I don't want everyone to know that I'm a gun owner and a collector, because there's a stigma, at least from on the left side, out there. And it's just, I don't get that.
How, if at all, has the shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, changed things for you personally, any of you? Jeremy?
For me, it's I'm more worried about, you know, society in general, and being able to protect myself from these people who obviously want to do harm to other people. And it didn't turn me anti-gun. It turned me more like, well, I'd better start taking care of myself and family, and, you know, start getting all my protection in order. And, you know, but on gun control, I do think there's some things that we can do to really help. I'd like to see a lot more education in this country. I think especially people who are going to be purchasing guns, I like to see them have to take maybe classes and training and shooting and that kind of stuff before you even purchase a gun. I mean, I was kind of, it kind of blew my mind that I was able to go in, pass a background check. I mean, I did all, everything legally, purchased a legal gun, and now I've got this gun that I've never used, never seen really a handgun in person, you know, never handled. Something didn't feel right about it, so that's why I took it upon myself to learn, you know, how to handle it and to go take the courses necessary and to take some training and shooting. And but it was a little concerning that you can go in and purchase a gun and not know anything about it. Mm-hmm. That's a little disturbing. So I'd like to see some more education in this country.
Casey, thoughts about how Newtown changed anything for you and how you feel?
I just realize that people are just crazy. And my sister is an elementary school teacher. And after that, she really wants to have a gun on her at all times, not to protect her, but to protect her students.
George?
I have to be honest. To me, it's just more of the same. Until we change our culture and get guns off the street, we're going to see that. That is the price we pay. And I have a 10-year-old son, and that is why I'm against guns, because I don't want him to be shot.
Athena?
It didn't change my viewpoints on gun control or the Second Amendment. However, it did have me thinking that since, and I would say probably since Columbine, the events have progressively gotten worse. It's a wake-up call. I don't think there should be a total ban, but I think something needs to be done so it doesn't continue to escalate and get worse.
Chuck?
Like George said, yeah, you just have a profound sense of sadness that that's kind of where we are. Again, my biggest concern is that I can't think of legislation that would have prevented Adam Lanza from being able to do what he did. If that's their intent, I think it's very hard to legislate that out of our society.
And on that note, we wrap up our roundtable discussion on guns in Centerville, Virginia. We heard from Chuck and Renee Riddle, Jeremy and Casey Riddle, Athena Norman, Paul Gwaltney, and George Hartigensis, who offers this final thought, something made clear all through our conversation. We are a country of chasms.
This is NPR News.